From relationship problems to anxiety, he's here to help. This is On Call with Dr. Sydney Miller on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
In studio with me tonight, Dr. Ian Bradley, an expert in the area of workplace stress and workplace performance. So we've been talking about some of the organizational factors that come into play when people work and that make the job environment for them more conducive to healthy work, I guess, or less conducive. Before the break, I was mentioning that we were also going to talk about some of the signs of burnout. I want to give people a chance to call out if this is something you're worried that maybe you are going through. 514-790-0991. Star Talk, that's star 8255 on your cell, and that's a free call on Bell Mobility. 1-800-491-CJD if you want to give us a call from out of town. You can also text any comments you have on this topic for a quarter to 514-800. Before we get to our discussion of burnout, we have Judy on the line who's a new caller, actually, and has a question or a thought about how to avoid burnout. Judy, good evening.
Yes, hi. Good evening. I listen to your show on Sunday nights, and it helps me for my profession. I'm just going to sign. I'm in the helping profession.
Okay.
And I'm a unionized worker, and so I've worked in the same place for 16 years, and I go through ups and downs where I have to really be very self-motivated. There's not much support at all, except for my colleagues. And basically, there are times when I feel like I'm fighting, that I don't want to be on burnout, and I try and take care of myself well. And really, the thing that really saves me is the really, when you have, as yourself, I'm sure you understand, when you have one client and it just goes super well, and then I go, okay, that's got to carry me for a while because I can't help everybody. But it is difficult because you're unionized and you can work harder than the next person, whatever, you have the same salary. And I've never once been evaluated in 16 years, never once.
Judy,
no quality insurance.
No, Judy, you're right that those people you help, they are amazing, but it is so sad to think and this is why I think understanding the workplace, Judy, I'm sure you would agree, irrespective of all the personal issues for burnout, understanding what's going on in a workplace is critical, and you're describing very well a very bad environment. Ian?
Very bad.
Oh, I agree, and there are a couple of things that you said. One is what we call a sense of injustice in the workplace, because in the workplace we all compare. We look at the amount of effort that we put in the job and what we're getting back from it in terms of salary or recognition. And that's kind of a ratio, and then we compare our ratio with other people. And when we're putting in more effort and getting the same results as other people, there's a sense of injustice, which adds to the stress and the frustration.
Well, there's advantages and disadvantages, obviously, with that kind of system. But so much so that I've questioned every new manager that has come in. I've actually said to them, you have no idea how if you, I give them suggestions. I say, you have no idea, a pizza and a glass of wine once a month, once every 3 months, I don't care anything to say thank you. And we've gone through some really extreme changes. Physical, like the building itself, and we went through a very difficult time. No electricity, sound, like a lot of very difficult time, and we basically were just took care of one another, and no one ever came to kind of say, hey, how are you guys doing? So I really would need some really good, you know, boost. How not to get burnt out? It's a challenge.
I agree, but how much would that cost a boss to go and say, great job, guys, or appreciate your... It doesn't cost very much money to do that.
I know it costs nothing, but they honestly don't do it, and they do speak up, and I every new manager who comes, and then I just kind of go back into my, zone of take care of yourself.
But you know what you've done, though, and I'm not sure that you realize this or other callers realize this, is that you're finding meaning in what you do. And
absolutely.
One, if you're not being recognized by your boss, then the alternative is that you do a great job yourself and you get meaning out of that.
And maybe that's a way to avoid burnout. You're asking Dr. Bradley here, and maybe that is the answer, is that you have managed to do so because, as you say, you find that one patient that you really help. You find meaning in work, even though you evaluate yourself, in a sense, even though you're not they're not being evaluated. Mm-hmm. And you reward yourself, even though you're not being rewarded.
Yes, yes, and that's it. But there is something terribly wrong with that system when someone's coming to me because they need my help. So we always say to ourselves, you have to be able to be fed to feed someone else.
Well put.
And if it's not coming, you've got to get it from everywhere you can, other than your administrators or your bosses. It's difficult.
I'd say it's impossible, and I just congratulate you on the kind of job that you're doing. And I couldn't phrase that better. You need to be fed in order to feed. That's so true. And we see it not only in the health service industry, but in general in the service industry, where people have to be nice to clients. They have to bend over backwards in order to have customer satisfaction. And that's not going to happen unless those people that are giving that service are well-treated themselves.
Well, we actually were proud of ourselves one day, and I said, if we were treated as well as we treat our clients or try to, we'd be doing great. And it's too bad that people don't know that.
Yeah,
Jude, I want to thank you so much for a very good call.
Great job.
Thanks
and great
a lot.
Job you're doing, absolutely. And folks, maybe you're in a union, civil industry or other type where you also feel unappreciated, or maybe you do feel appreciated. Maybe you've managed to hold off burnout. Maybe like Judy, sometimes you wonder if you can. Give us a call, 514-790-0991, Star Talk. That's Star 8255 on your cell. That's a free call on Bell Mobility. Ian, it's you hear, though, to me it makes me almost cringe that people have to work day in and day out in such environments.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And we were talking before that the sophistication now of the workplace, that more and more people are facing unremitting kinds of challenges. With fewer resources all the time, they're being asked to put out more, to do a better job. And unless they're getting rewarded in some kind of meaningful way, then people break down. And that's what happens.
Yeah, I think absolutely true. And when they break down, that's that term burnout, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, as we said before, it could be burnout or stress or depression or whatever. But I've always thought of it because I see people as they go through the entire scenario. And it's interesting because at the beginning, they have a definite idea about what the problem is. They know what the difficulty is.
Right.
And then somehow the process gets changed so that they begin to worry about the problem, perhaps losing sleep about the problem, spinning their wheels, even performing poorly at work, until that day they go to the doctor and they get the note for disability.
Right.
And then they go on to a rest period. And then at that point, there's a quantum shift because they're no longer a worker. At that point, they become a patient. And one of the worst things that happens to the patient in this new role is rest.
Right.
And the longer that they're away from the work resting, the lower their confidence falls.
That's right. And unless in that rest is also a retraining, psychological retraining, an emotional retraining, perhaps even a work retraining. We've got Matthew on the line. We've got Frank on the line. Let's go to Matthew first. Matthew, you say you love your stressful work.
I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
That's great.
Share it with us, Matthew.
I'm a social worker, and so I've worked with street kids. I've worked in hospitals and in palliative care. I've worked with nurses, doctors in the operating rooms when my patient was too scared and I went in with them. And I love and thrive on my work, and I thrive on the stress at work, and I'm always hyper at work. My coworkers say, Matthew, there's always a smile on your face. You come to work half an hour early. You want to stay 2 hours late. You don't mind.
So, Matthew, you're the classic self-motivated individual.
Yeah, but what I want to ask Dr. Bradley,
I'm
missing something. There's so many people around me are so sad and burnt out and can't handle the stress. And me, my problem is within my family. My family, it's extreme stress. I can't seem to resolve that stress. So I'm wondering, am I reverse of everybody else, or am I missing something?
Well, first of all, what's the nature of the stress in your family?
Well, conflicts with my brothers over my orientation, over my choice of work. Maybe they perceive that I'm not giving enough to my mother, who's in her 80s, and I live with her. Stuff like that, conflictual things. But
it's funny because one of the things when I was listening to you about the kinds of things that you do in your job is that there are two things. One, there's a variety of tasks that you do, and we know that that's so important. It's called job enrichment. So the more things that you're doing, usually the more satisfied you are at work. And the second thing, as I'm listening to you talk about your job, is that there is a great sense of self-direction, that you were able to pick and choose what you wanted to do. You had your own ways of doing something, perhaps. And in those two ingredients, job enrichment and a sense of autonomy, I think are so important in combating stress and buffers to stress. I'd just encourage you to use that philosophy with your family in terms of saying that you have your own ideas and your own lifestyle, and that, you know, that everybody has the right to live the way they want to. So I'd use your strength at work and to try to help you deal with the stress in your family.
And can I ask you just a quick question, Dr. Bradley, because maybe I hit a pin on the head.
Sure.
Do you think people, instead of looking at their job as part of their life, and an important part of their life, and to be responsible at that job, they take the job too seriously, and the job becomes their life?
Oh,
that's all they've got is their job?
No, that's a great point. That's a great point, because as we talked before about a job contract, where you give work and you give effort and you get a salary, but besides that, you get a job, and that job gives you an identity, and it gives you a role in society. Those are two very positive things, but as you point out, if they become 100% of your entire life, if your entire identity is you, the nurse, you, the social worker, you, the businessman, and you've got nothing else, and if you relate to people exclusively from that role, then I think you're in trouble.
Right. But that's actually one of the classic definitions of the personality that's prone to burnout, is that for which work is their whole self-definition.
Sure. And then you get into the problem of work-life balance, or in particular, the lack of balance,
right,
where there's a lack of leisure and a lack of perspective. But you're right. A job is a complex thing because it helps define our identity, but the danger is it can't define our identity totally. And it also gives us a social role when we're in a situation. After we talk about the weather, what do we talk about? What do you do?
Right?
So it provides us a role with which to relate to other people.
Matthew, thank you very much for a call. Interesting questions as well. Frank, let's get to you next.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Okay, I was listening to you about now being well-treated. I've worked a little over 30 years for this company, this bread company.
Okay.
And to show you how like I told the lady who answered the phone, she asked me my question, but we weren't well-treated. We were pampered.
Ah.
And what does pampered mean?
Pardon?
Does that mean you're given soft bread? What does that mean?
No, we were pampered. We were, you said, thanks very much, Frank. No, that was a good week.
Oh, that's great.
We were great. We were paid by commission.
Great.
And anyway, to make it, to give you a figure, I started there. We were doing door-to-door.
Uh-huh.
With the bread and the basket and the buns and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And when there was, let's say, 25 or 30 below or a major snowstorm, when we came in, we had sandwiches and coffee.
My God.
Well, I see, it's those little touches, folks. If you have a company, think of what Frank's just saying here. It's those little touches, they make all the difference in the world, don't they, Frank?
Right. And when the managers, are sometimes, let's say, a restaurant needed the 10 bread, or you were short, or something like that, and managers say, well, Frank, I'm stuck. Can you bring 10 bread to this place, this restaurant? And sometimes it was a little out of my way, let's say our way, because nobody could refuse,
Uh-huh.
We'd say, sure, okay, fine. And as soon as they sold that was Palm Bakery.
That's great. Oh, that's.
And the president, to show you how it was, on Christmas Eve,
uh-huh,
which I'm sure you've never heard of a president of a major company, but no, in this case, a bread company.
Yeah, go on.
Christmas Eve, he was waiting till the last one that came in. Sometimes it was 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's great.
To give wish us Merry Christmas and give us our fruitcake, which that was our bonus.
Yes.
So we had a good joke at that, but you know, it was well appreciated. And when they sold to Multimark, man, that was the whip. As a matter of fact, in the end of the time I was there, I made a grievance for harassment.
Yes.
So quite a change from where you started from, huh?
Oh, gosh, yeah, no. So it goes to show you how right you are. Just a little thanks, you've done a good week. Or sometimes we had troubles, no? Okay, what's wrong, Frank? Or Frank or Bill or Harry, no, whoever. They were there to help us. But the difference is the managers there started the way we did.
Yes.
They knew exactly.
So they knew about the job.
They hired from within, huh?
Yeah.
Inside out.
I think that's so important.
Frank, I want to thank you so much for Carl's encouraging words that companies can do possibly great things with their employees. When we return, we're going to talk about how you can actually improve your performance, improve your lifestyle, improve your risk of not burning out with Ian Bradley. 514-790-0991. You're listening to On Call with Dr. Sidney Miller.